creation.
Curiosity.
The next idea.
We weren't setting out to do these huge things. We were just starting with solving a problem we hoped a few other people had.
Homelessness can look somehow different in a city than it does in rural areas. It can be easier to overlook in a rural area. Our latest contributor to The Next Idea is the executive director and CEO of Mel Trotter Ministries in Grand Rapids. They've got a new pilot program going to help the rural homeless of Cedar Springs and take on the problem of rural homelessness in general. Dennis Van Kampen, pleasure to welcome you to The Next Idea.
Thank you for having me.
So do you have a sense, Dennis, of just how big the problem of rural homelessness is in Michigan?
Well, we're really trying to establish that because it's difficult to figure out how large the problem is, because what happens is the homeless numbers are counted through a government system called HMIS, the Homeless Management Information System. And the only way for someone experiencing homelessness to enter into this system is for them to come to a service provider that participates. Generally, that is a service provider or an organization in the city. So there are not organizations necessarily in the rural areas that are case managing people experiencing homelessness or entering into the system. So I do believe, based on what we've seen so far, that in about a year, we're going to be able to prove that at least in family homelessness, the crisis is greater in the rural areas than it is in the city.
Well, that is stunning. Why do you think that is?
First of all, I think rural communities tend to take care of themselves, and they also tend to not participate in a lot of services in the city. So, for example, a family that might be homeless in Cedar Springs is not going to leave their community to come down to the city. There's all kinds of fears and perceptions of what happens in the city. So we end up with really a hidden problem in the rural areas. But then we also know that there's not all the employment opportunities in the rural areas that there are in the city. So, you know, when the economy is in a downturn, or when it kind of leaves behind those that are maybe not as educated or equipped for a higher paying job, we end up seeing a lot more homelessness in the rural areas.
What got you turned in this direction in the first place to launch this program with Mel Trotter Ministries to really help the homeless of Cedar Springs?
I've been with Mel Trotter for 5 years, and about 2.5 years ago, someone actually from the school system there, because I live up there, my kids are in the school system, and someone called me and said, you know, Mel Trotter does a great job in the city. Have you thought about those of us that need these services in the rural areas and even in the town that you live in? And, you know, that just really impacted me. And I'm like, wow, I haven't. And I knew that there were some people experiencing homelessness in the rural areas, but I didn't know the extent. And that just really ignited in me this idea that we have a responsibility in our area to meet and serve and help anyone that's experiencing homelessness, not just people in the cities. We began exploring and building partnerships, and now we're launching this initiative.
Tell us about the initiative. How will it work, and who are you partnering with?
Yeah, so we took some staff that were existing staff at Mel Trotter, and we asked them to go into the northern Kent County area and to start talking to businesses, churches, school systems, other organizations, and start trying to ask questions and figure out if there is a problem, and if there is, then where are people staying, and where are the problem areas. So we started exploring, and that led us to understand that there is a problem. We hired a staff person to be a case manager in northern Kent County. What happened with that is we said, okay, but we need organizations to partner with, because this can't be the organization from the city riding in to save the rural areas.
Oh, that's such an important point, isn't it?
It really is, because every person experiencing homelessness is a different, unique individual with unique problems, and every organization is unique, and we don't have all the answers, but what we can do is bring our resources in partnership with the resources that already exist and then multiply our impact.
So what will you be doing? You've got this caseworker who will be devoted to this. What kind of services, what kind of outreach will be happening?
Yeah, so we started this about 6 months ago, actually, and our case manager spends 1 to 2 days a week in the school system, in the office, and then we put the word out to teachers and parents in the district and say, you know, if you're experiencing homelessness, if you have a student that is, if you know someone that is, or if you're on the brink of becoming homeless, here are the office hours, and, you know, Steve is our advocate out there. You can come and see Steve. He also has office hours in an organization called North Kent Connect, which does an amazing job of working with people in poverty, but they didn't have the piece of case managing homeless individuals or families. So our worker is there to help meet people where they are, build relationships, get them into the HMIS system, and then also help them with their situation. And a lot of that, this is a startling statistic, 30% of the families that experience homelessness, for less than $500, they could have been diverted and stayed in housing and never had to become homeless.
Wow.
So part of what we do is we help people divert from becoming homeless. I'll give you one quick example. We had a family, they're on the verge of homelessness. The dad got a job, but he needed steel-toe work boots for the job. They only had enough money to either pay the rent or to pay for the work boots. So literally, if he would have bought the work boots and gotten the job, his family would have been kicked out of the house and living in the car. So we were able to help him get the work boots and save his money for rent, and we diverted that family from becoming homeless.
Yeah, you headed it off before it happened.
Exactly.
You mentioned living in the car. When you think of the face of homelessness in a big city, it's folks often going from one shelter to another shelter and then maybe on the street during the day and coming back. What's the face of homelessness? What is life like if you are homeless in a very rural area?
You know, first, the face of homelessness in general, whether it's in the city or in the rural area, because we get asked this question all the time. And what I say is, if you want to understand the face of homelessness, there's only one thing you need to do, and that's look in the mirror. Because any one of us could become homeless. And homelessness is really about two things, either untreated mental illness, which is a community problem that we have to solve, or it's about some sort of tragedy that has happened to an individual or family, and now they find themselves where they never thought they would be before. And everybody wants to sort of put that addiction face on homelessness, but most of the people that experience homelessness are not addicted. In fact, in family homelessness, 90% of them are not addicted or experiencing any mental illness. So, you know, the face looks like the face that we see in the mirror every day. We just don't want to acknowledge that.
So are people crashing with relatives? Are they living in cars? How are they getting by?
Yeah, we identified, for example, in the Cedar Springs School District, which is a small district, a couple of months before the school year ended, there were 61 known children, students living in homelessness. That doesn't include the kids that were too young to be in the school system. And it was literally everything from being doubled or tripled up in a home or a trailer to living in a tent in the woods, living at a campground, living in a car. And oftentimes it's hidden because parents that have children that are in this situation, they're fearful that if they admit to being homeless, that CPS might come in and take their kids, which isn't true. If there's not abuse or neglect, CPS isn't going to get involved. In fact, what they actually will do is try and connect them with resources like Maltrotter to make sure we can get them housed. But the experience is one, it's a hidden shame. And really, there are so many resources and so many people that are willing to help.
This is a ministry.
Yeah, it's a ministry. We're a faith-based organization. We always have been. We always will be. However, we meet people because of our faith, and we don't require anyone to participate in faith to gain the services that we have. But oftentimes, people that are experiencing homelessness have a deep faith because it's the only way they've been able to survive. So we can come alongside and walk with them in that.
When you think of the work that could be done, what are your hopes for this pilot program down the road to see it grow and think of what it might do to help homeless residents in rural areas?
Great question. I hope that we are able to move the needle in several ways. One way is to move the needle so that we can get people into the HMIS system, and the government and other organizations are going to have to recognize there's a problem outside of the city, so maybe we can allocate some more resources toward helping them. I also hope we move the needle in two more ways. One is, you know, our plan is when this pilot is successful, that it broadens and we expand it to anywhere in the rural community within our service area, and that we can become a model for other communities in the state and across the nation for other organizations. And then lastly, here's what we know. Statistically, if a child is displaced four times in their academic career, they have a 78% chance of not graduating high school. So if that child living in poverty and homelessness doesn't graduate high school, the options for them are very limited. And we find with our 50, 60, 70-year-old chronic homeless person living in the streets of Grand Rapids, the vast majority of them first experienced homelessness as a child. So we need to get back and work with the schools and the teachers and the churches in the community. And we need to end the cycle of poverty so that we can actually work toward ending homelessness.
Dennis Van Kampen, Executive Director and CEO of Maltrotter Ministries in Grand Rapids. Thank you for spending time with us on The Next Idea, Dennis.
Oh, thank you so much.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.